Praise God. Welcome, everybody. You're listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you every Sunday at this time from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida. I am Pastor Marcia McAllister, and we are excited about the river of anointing that is flowing in our ministry and in the lives of our people and extending out to those around us. Praise God for that river of anointing. It's so exciting. What that means is the river of God's presence. That's what the anointing means. And we're excited about the fact that God's presence lives in us and is coming out of us to those around us. And that is what we are all about at Beacon of Hope. We're excited about the Word of God and the fact that the Word of God changes us and causes us to become more like Jesus as we study it, as we read it, as we take time in the Word of God, our lives are changed. Would you agree with that? Connie Farmer, who is back in the studio with me today.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely. You would agree. All right. We have Miss Connie being here with us. She has called in a couple times, but she's had some physical issues, but everything is great now, and you are healthy.
Yep.
And who's your healer?
Jesus.
All right. It's the Palm Sunday Easter season, and we're excited about that time of year, as most Christians are. It's the time that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. And he didn't stay a dead and buried person or savior, but he became the risen Lord, and that is why we celebrate. And today is Palm Sunday. It's a little early, it seems to me, in March than normal, but we've had the time change and everything seems a little weird to me in that regard. But it is Palm Sunday, and it's a beautiful day in Dunedin and Clearwater, Florida. And we just, Connie and I, as we were driving, we just passed the water, and the sailboats Beautiful. Were out, and it is gorgeous. And some of you that are up in cold weather, then eat your heart out. We're so sorry. But anyway, sorry about that. But we're blessed, and we are blessed to be
in
that sunshine.
It's what, 82 or so?
I think it's 80-something. I've got shorts on sitting here in the studio, you know, and so does Lee in there in the engineering room, and his face is all red from the sun, so... We're excited
started a tan.
We're excited about what God is doing in our lives because he is answering prayer, is he not?
Yes.
He's answering prayer. Yes. We want to extend a greeting today right off the top to our dear friend Joan Tungate in Newcastle, Indiana, who's one of our ministry partners. She and her husband Leonard, her brother Lloyd, and his wife Cindy, and there's just a group up there, and most of these people were in my church that I pastored in Indiana for 7 years, and we are wanting to send our greetings, but also our love and our prayer support. Joan is in the hospital and had been very ill with a lot of things going on in her physical body, but we are praying for her and speaking that healing touch of God's power into her life today. And you can
Amen.
You can attest to that, Connie, because look at you. You're up running and doing so good mm-hmm. after being so very sick. And some of you out there today are going through all kinds of situations in your life. Maybe it's sickness. Maybe it is sorrow. Maybe it's grief. Maybe it's something that you're struggling with, an emotional battle. Maybe there's some kind of heaviness in your heart. And we hope that today's show will lift you up and cause you to feel closer to God and give you a renewed hope and direction for your life. It's exciting. Palm Sunday. Palm Sunday is all about victory, Connie. And all of the celebration that day on Palm Sunday, and we're going to talk more about it in our teaching in a few minutes, it was related to the victory and the celebration of Jesus riding into Jerusalem. And we remember that story, and everybody can probably talk about it, but we're going to talk about it in greater detail today, and we're going to talk about it in reference to what happened the day before. And some of you may not know what happened the day before the triumphal entry. And so we're going to start with that today. We're going to be in the 12th chapter of the book of John. And so if you follow along with your Bible, you might want to grab it and follow along with us today in John chapter 12. Connie, there's a lot of people out there in this world and people probably listening to us right now who maybe are discouraged in a lot of areas of their life. Maybe they're discouraged spiritually. Maybe they're just discouraged with their work or relationships or just how their life is going in general. And we want to encourage them today with the Word of God, and we want to encourage them to dig a little deeper. Dig a little deeper. You've done that yourself, haven't you? You've been digging in the Word of God and following what God is saying in the Word. And when we get into the Word of God, it brings new hope and it brings new, it just revitalizes us. The Word of God does that. And Scriptures come alive to us and we get excited about the Scriptures. And I know I've said that word excited probably five times right now. But that's how I feel, and I hope you can tell that I so believe that the Word of God is the answer to whatever problem you are going through today. God's Word says, "Forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven." And there are times in our lives where we aren't in the Word of God, and we kind of lay it aside, and we kind of, you know, maybe just don't give it the priority that we should. And have there ever been those kinds of times in your life, Connie?
Yes.
Yes. And what did you do about it? I mean,
well, once you figure out why you feel so bad,
right,
then you pick it back up. So hopefully it doesn't take that long to realize that what you're missing.
Exactly. And sometimes, though, it's hard to figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Yeah, it's hard to put your finger on what's wrong.
Right. Yeah. And I think a lot of people think that what is wrong with them, quote unquote, wrong with them, it has to do with circumstances all around them, mm-hmm. You know?
Life.
Yeah. And instead of, and I propose this to all you listening today, we're going to talk about what's going on the inside of you, not just in your emotional level, but really today we're going to talk about your spiritual level. Because the Word of God says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 that we are made up of three parts, spirit, soul, and body. Your physical body is easy to figure out. You know where that is. You're in it. You live in it. That's your tent. That's where you live. Your soul is your personality, your emotions, the things that make you so unique. All those things that I could sit here and talk to you about Connie, but I won't. But all the things that make Connie so unique, that's her personality, her emotions, okay? Mm-hmm. And then there is that third level that a lot of us ignore, and we don't really think about it that much, and it is our spiritual level, and that really is our true self. That's our true self, our spiritual level. And we are going to talk about that, getting in touch with your spirit man today on this Palm Sunday.
That's like your compass.
Your compass.
That keeps you in a direction.
Exactly. It is. It's mm-hmm. your essence, don't you think? Mm-hmm. And whether somebody knows the Lord as their Savior or not, there is still that spiritual side in them that is hungering and is yearning for meaning in their life. Mm-hmm. And that's what we want to talk about today. We're so glad you've joined us. Listen to this commercial word from Beacon of Hope from Liz, and then we are going to go into a great song. It's entitled Hosanna on this Palm Sunday day, and Hosanna means save us now, Lord, we beseech thee. So stay tuned. We're going to have some great talk and some great teaching.
Would you agree that there are times in our life where we need a fresh start, a new beginning, even a do-over? Hi, I'm Elizabeth from the Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, and I encourage you to discover the God of the fresh start. In Psalms 18:20 through 24, in the Message Bible, it says, God made my life complete when I placed all the pieces before him. When I got my act together, he gave me a fresh start. Now I'm alert to God's ways. I don't take God for granted. On Sundays at 11 and Wednesdays at 7, we gather at our facility at 1812 Main Street in Dunedin to study God's Word and worship Him together. He wants you to know that He loves you and has a plan for your life, a plan to bless and prosper you and bring you new purpose and direction. Come, discover principles that will change your life. He really is the God of the fresh start. Venga, reciba sus bendiciones en el Beacon of Hope.
Praise God. Hosanna in the highest. Welcome back to Living the Good Life. And this is Pastor Marcia McAllister. We're teaching today out of John chapter 12, and we are glad you have joined us. If you have your Bible in John chapter 12, verse 1, it was 6 days before the crucifixion, before the Passover, just 6 days. And Jesus entered Bethany, where Lazarus was so recently raised from the dead, and he was living. In John chapter 11, the chapter right before this, the Lazarus had been sick, and he had been sick, and he died, and he was one of the good friends of Jesus. He had two sisters, Mary and Martha, and some of you have heard that story before. And Jesus was summoned to come to their home to do something about the fact that Lazarus was so sick. And Jesus said to his disciples, "We're not ready to go yet. We're going to wait because God's going to get glory from this situation." And we know from the story that Jesus waited. And when he finally got to Bethany, Lazarus had been in the tomb 4 days. But we also know that Jesus went to that tomb. He stood there. He cried. It says Jesus wept. That's John 11:33, the shortest verse in the Bible. And Jesus stood there and he wept. He cried over his friend. But then Jesus did something about it. You see, he felt that human emotion because of what had happened to his friend. But then he reached out by faith, and the spirit within him, you know, his soul level, that emotional level, was feeling the pain and crying, but the spirit within him began to rise up, and he knew he had to do something about this situation. And we know the end of that story in John 11, that Jesus called Lazarus out of the tomb, and Lazarus walked out of there bound hand and foot as a cadaver, been dead 4 days. And Jesus told everybody around there, loose him and let him go. And of course, he was freed from the bondage of death, from the grave. And so this had become an unbelievable thing that was actually, to many people, almost unbelievable, that there was a man who had been raised from the dead. This was an incredible miracle. So people were hanging out around Bethany, around the home of Lazarus and his two sisters, Mary and Martha, because they wanted to see what in the heck is going on, and they wanted to know about this miracle. So Jesus chooses in the last week of his life to be surrounded by his good friends, and he goes to the home of Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, and he was invited for dinner. There were three suppers in the last week of Jesus' life. This is one of them. Of course, you're all familiar with the Last Supper, and so there were three that very week. Now, Martha, the sister of Lazarus, was serving the food, and she had everybody sit down. And then in comes Mary. Mary comes in with a jar of very expensive aromatic oil. Now, this oil was unusually very exquisite. It was not just a normal oil. This was actually so valuable that it was so costly that it was like a year's worth of wages, 11 months of wages for the typical person. That's what this oil was worth. Now, Mary began to just anoint the feet of Jesus, which means that she poured it on his feet. And then it says in John 12, about verse 3, that Mary began to massage the feet of Jesus. What a loving act this was that Mary did. And she wiped this oil with her hair. And as this happened, it says here in John chapter 12, verse 3, that the fragrance of that oil filled the house where they were. It absolutely permeated that whole house. That was the fragrance of the anointing of the feet of Jesus. Now, when Mary did this, I propose to you today that Mary did this out of a pure heart. She didn't know that one day her story would be in the Bible for all of us for thousands of years to read. She didn't say, oh, I'm going to do this so I get notoriety. Mary did this because she loved Jesus so much that she wanted to bless him with a special gift. And this gift was the anointing of his feet with this fragrance and this very expensive oil, which showed her devotion to Jesus. How cool is that? Can you just picture that? That the whole room, the whole house filled up with this fragrance. Now, somebody got upset about this. Now, wait a minute. You say, why would anybody be upset about this beautiful act of devotion? Wouldn't you think that everybody would be thrilled about this? And wouldn't they be saying, oh, isn't that cool that Mary did that? I think there was a lot of people there that did think that, that thought this was a wonderful act of love and devotion. Now, there was a person in the crowd, and he was one of the disciples, and his name was Judas Iscariot. And this is John chapter 12, verse 4. And Judas Iscariot pipes up, and says, and we know that Judas was getting ready to betray Jesus, and he says, wait a minute. He took exception with the act of love that Mary did to the feet of Jesus, and instead of appreciating it from her heart, seeing her motive, Judas spoke up and he said, why wasn't this oil sold and the money given to the poor? Well, now that sounds like a good idea, right? And when you first look at that, you say, well, that's a good idea. Why spend all this expensive oil on the feet of Jesus? Why? And Judas was throwing this idea out. And he says, why don't we just give this to the poor? Now, I'm reading from the Message Bible, and it says here that this would have easily brought, and this is the rest of Judas' statement, 300 silver pieces, which was about 11 months' worth of wages. So we're talking about a lot of money. He said this, listen to this, not because he cared 2 cents about the poor, but because he was the thief, and he was in charge of their common funds, and he also embezzled them. Now, this is very interesting. This is the person who was chosen as a disciple of Jesus. This person was his treasurer. This person should have seen the act of love that Mary bestowed upon the physical body of Jesus by anointing his feet and blessing him with a foot massage. And instead, Judas is thinking, oh, it's all about the money. Do you see that in this story? You say, what does this have to do with Palm Sunday? Believe me, it does. So hang with me. Now, Jesus gets right there in the face of Judas. And this is John 12, verse 7. And Jesus says, let her alone. Jesus understood what Mary was doing because he saw the attitude of her heart. I propose to you today, listening audience, God sees your heart, whether you want him to or not, whether you try to cover things up, whether you try to hide motives, whether you try to hide some sickness of your heart behind religious words, guess what? God sees the motive of your heart. And Jesus knew where Mary was coming from. And he said, wait a minute, Judas, leave her alone. She is already anticipating and honoring the day of my burial. And he goes on to say, you always have the poor with you, but you don't always have me. Here is a profound, profound truth that we all need to get a hold of today. It is all about priorities in our lives. I don't know if you've heard this expression all the time. You probably have. It's everywhere. What it's really about. What is it about? You know, people say, ah, it's just about this. It's about that. It's about your priorities. That's what it's about. What is going on in your life today is a direct result of where your priorities are and where your heart is. Jesus said, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. How interesting. It is all about where your heart is. If your heart today is all messed up with unforgiveness, bitterness, pride, arrogance, all of that kind of crud, we'll just call it for what it is, crud. If your heart is full of that, it will come out in your actions, and that's where your treasure will be. In all of that, you will treasure that bitter feeling. You will treasure that unforgiveness. You will treasure that nasty attitude. And you will actually give it some airtime in your head. And you will let those tapes play over and over. Oh, you wouldn't believe what so-and-so did to me. And you will allow the enemy to absolutely pester you with all of that junk if you give into it and give it airtime. And interestingly enough, Judas was listening to that kind of crud in his head. Judas was full of the wrong motives. Mary was full of the true motives. Mary saw that Jesus needed to have his feet massaged and needed to have an anointing over his feet. And she was actually in the spirit realm, the spirit part of Mary was preparing Jesus for his burial. She may not have known that. She may not have been in touch with it. And I have found through the years that as you walk more and more in the spirit of God, there are times you do things you don't even know why you're doing those. Or you call a certain person and you say, man, you just been on my heart. And this happened to me this week. And all of a sudden somebody's on your heart, and then you know why that is. But it's the Spirit of God inside of you leading you and directing you. And I propose to you today, Mary was following the leading of the Spirit of God. She just knew there was a reason why she should take this very expensive ointment and put it all over the feet of Jesus and massage his feet. And interestingly, also, when we do follow, now this is a profound truth, and if you take notes, you may want to write this down. When we do follow the leading of the Spirit of God within us, Satan hates it and causes people around us to begin to mistrust it, to mistrust the leading of God in our lives, to cause all kinds of things, bad things to be said against you and about you when you are following the leading of the Spirit of God. This is for somebody out there listening today. I don't know who, but listen up. If you are doing your best to follow the leading of God in your life, you are spending time in the Word, you are praising God, you are asking God to check your motives, you are asking God to look in your heart and see what you're about. If you are doing that, then keep on that course and disregard the junk that comes at you from the devil through people who don't understand you. We are going to talk today in just a moment with Connie about the difference of spirituality and religiosity. There's a big difference. And in this story, before we get to Palm Sunday, which is actually the next day in the events that happened here, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But before we get there, we are going to start it with talking about true spirituality versus being religious. I don't know about you, but I know a lot of religious people who are not spiritual. Hang with me. We are going to talk about this in just a minute.
WTAN, Clearwater, Tampa, St. Petersburg. WDCF, Dade City, Zephyr Hills, Wesley Chapel.
Do you wish you understood more of the Bible? The middle of the week is a great time to gather with us at Beacon of Hope and study God's Word. We gather around tables in our sanctuary with our Bibles and notebooks and enter into lively discussion as we study the principle of God's Word together. We call this time conference because our Bible brings us direction and purpose. I'm Jeannie from the Beacon of Hope, and I welcome you to join us this Wednesday night at 1812 Main Street in Dunedin at 7 p.m. for a great time of teaching and sharing. You'll be glad you took the time. We finish up at 8:30, so we hope to see you this Wednesday evening.
Praise God. You're listening to Living the Good Life from Beacon of Hope Ministries in Dunedin, Florida. We are almost ready to celebrate our one-year anniversary. It will be on April the 13th. Well, 15th it was, so 13th. We will be 1 year every single Sunday on this radio station. The first 6 or 8 weeks, Connie, I think we were on just for an hour, right?
Yes.
And then we were all such blabbermouths, and we said, Lee, you know, one hour. We're just getting started at 1 hour, you know. Mm. What can we do about this? So now we're on for 90 minutes and have been really from about the second or third month. And
I think
so
June something.
June, I think June. So too, yeah. So we've been almost a year on this radio station, and we love these people here. They're wonderful, wonderful, wonderful to work with. Connie, spirituality versus being religious. And what does it mean to be religious? Because on this Palm Sunday day, there's an awful lot of people that probably went to church today because it was the thing to do, because it's Palm Sunday. And mm-hmm. there will be a whole lot more that go next Sunday because it's Easter. You know that the, what do they call them? The EC Christians? Do you know what those are?
Easter and Christmas. Mandatory holidays.
Mandatory holidays. The times you got to go and give God your presence there for just a second and show up for an hour and feel really good about yourself because you showed up.
Get your attendance taken.
Oh my gosh. And God up in heaven is going, look at this one who showed up on Easter and Christmas and Palm Sunday.
Mm-hmm. There may have been
extra points for Palm Sunday, right?
Yeah.
Spirituality, we're just being silly, but spirituality versus being religious. And I think growing up as a pastor's kid and a missionary's kid, I saw a whole lot of religious activity in churches. Mm-hmm. In fact, I always said to people, I am never going to marry a pastor.
So you became
one. So I became one. Did not marry a pastor, married a doctor, but did not marry a pastor. And God got me and said, hey, you're going to be one. So because I grew up seeing like the religious trappings, you know, the people that talk a good talk, but it wasn't genuine.
It's a good thing God looks at the heart.
Isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And not at the actions. Because people go through the motions, but their hearts are dead.
Their hearts are dead.
They're just going through, the religious people are more of a ritual.
Yes.
You know, following a ritual or a agenda.
Yes, absolutely. Absolutely. And I think a lot of churches are filled with people like that. Mm-hmm. They put in their time, they walk in, they put their dime in, and, you know, like putting in the parking meter, and I'm here, God, notice me, and please answer my prayers this week. Mm-hmm. You know, but it hasn't changed them, you know? And this is what's going on with Judas. Go ahead.
Well, you know, we talked, I guess, a bazillion years ago when I mentioned that a lot of people know how to get in touch with God, but they don't know anything about him.
Exactly.
You know, and they don't have a relationship with him. And
that's it.
The religious
That's thing. The religious thing. They know how to reach him. You know, they can call on him, and they know they can go to, you know, mass or wherever, and they can pray, and they can know that they probably think he probably hears them. You know, they confess their sin and they probably mm-hmm. believe because somebody says you're forgiven. But does the heart change? And this is what we want to talk about in this broadcast today, because in this triumphal, you know, parade that happened with Jesus, there was an awful lot of hypocrisy in that crowd, I am sure. Because this is probably the same crowd that turned on him a few days later and said, crucify him, crucify him. Hypocrisy. I've heard a lot of people say, well, I don't want to go to church because it's full of hypocrites. Yep, you're darn tootin'. Because we're all just people. We're all human.
Well, and also I think that during that time period, during that day, those religious leaders, the chief priests and all, I think they were worried about what was going to happen to them rule-wise,
yes.
as far as like who was going to govern them.
Exactly.
Because they were under the
Roman law.
Yeah. So they weren't sure what was going to happen if, you
That's
know,
right.
because everybody wanted Jesus to be king.
Exactly.
They didn't see him for who he really was. They just saw him as a charismatic leader.
Yes.
Like Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton. Or,
right. John McCain.
Not John McCain. Well, anyway.
right. I mean,
you know,
just a charismatic leader.
Right. They see him as a charismatic leader, and they want him to be their president.
Exactly.
And he wanted to be their savior.
Amen.
So.
Yeah. In fact, they tried to make him king different mm-hmm. times. When there would be a miracle, then they would say, you know, it says in the scripture that they would go after him. They decided, let's go make him king. And he would slip away in the crowd, you know. Mm-hmm. He would just get away, disappear, whatever.
And the religious leaders didn't like how he did things against the law.
Exactly.
What they wanted to recite as the law and hold as the law.
Right.
Because it fit their purpose.
It fit their purpose. Do you know, I believe, Connie, and of course you and I are a little older than the average bear, so we've been around for a while, but I believe a lot of people love rules. Why do they love rules?
Well, it keeps them in line.
Keeps them in line. They can, like, monitor their progress with God.
They can
God
monitor
by,
other people.
And they can monitor other people.
Judge.
Because religious spirits tend to be extremely judgmental. Mm-hmm. Don't you know what I'm talking about there?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, people that get up and harangue a person or a you know, a community or whatever. What'd you start to say? I didn't want to interrupt you.
I didn't. I wasn't starting to say. I was just breathing.
They do. They do,
yeah,
though,
they
don't
do.
They?
Yeah.
They the rules are so important to a lot of people, mm-hmm. and they live by those rules.
But they're probably the first person to break those rules and keep it a deep, dark secret.
We kind of had that this week, didn't we, politically,
yes.
with the governor of New York. This has been an interesting week, and
wow.
and how he would harangue on that very, very thing, I hear,
mm-hmm.
and then caught in the very mess of it. And, I, you know, you see this across America a lot of times with mm-hmm. religious leaders who get up in their pulpits, and they can talk a good talk, but and I said this morning in the sermon, I've never heard anybody say this, but it's probably many people have said it. Religious spirits talk a good talk, but they don't walk the walk. You know what I'm mm-hmm. talking about out there, listening audience? I mean, there's so many people that are religious in so many ways, but and they can tell you, they can, a lot of these people can quote scripture to you, and they can say, and here, over here, and this, blah, 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 it says, you know, and they've got some of those rules down pat.
And they can pick scriptures that will back up what they're attacking you for.
Exactly. And they've got
just
that.
Different. They'll just take little words out of it and use it.
Exactly. And I think Judas Iscariot was this kind of a guy, you know? Mm-hmm. Judas was the kind of guy that had the theory correct. Because he says here, oh my, we should be taking that money instead of putting it on the feet of Jesus. We should have taken it and we should have sold those oils and we should have given the money to the poor. And then the very next line in John 12, and John wrote this, he says Judas didn't care anything about the poor. He just wanted more money in the treasury.
Because he's a thief.
Because he was a thief. So you see the difference here so often with religion and religiosity is that it is fake. It's mm-hmm. fake. Mm-hmm. You say, Pastor, you are on a bandwagon today. I am, because I honestly am sick and tired of religious people that try to put people in their little box, you know, of their rules and their ways of doing things, when Jesus was all about true spirituality. In fact, he says true worshipers will worship God in spirit and in truth. Okay? It says in John 1:14 that Jesus came to this earth and he was full of grace and truth. Full of grace and truth. That's John 1:14 if you want to look it up. That is the very nature of God and his son Jesus. Grace and truth. And so often we get led into the lies of the devil. Don't you think, Connie? I mean, it's mm-hmm. when it comes to religious things, we get led into, you know.
Yeah. Judging and just.
Yeah, the judging thing. It's, mm-hmm. it's huge, you know, and people do that. And that's. When they don't really know the heart of the person.
Mm-hmm. They just, they don't measure up to what they think they should. And
right. Right. And religious spirits do that very thing. Mm-hmm. And it's very dangerous, because what Jesus was all about was getting to the heart and the motives of people. Mm-hmm. And we see right here in this story in John 12 that Judas, the motives that he had here were absolutely wrong. You know, he wasn't in any way interested in feeding the poor.
Mm-mm.
But he did take it upon himself to judge Mary, didn't he?
Yes.
Okay? That's what you just said a minute ago, Connie, that he was judging.
You know, there's something about the feet. They keep sticking them ever since this morning.
Yeah.
There's something about, because I remember when Jesus sent some of the disciples to
right.
do something, and he said, if they don't receive you, shake the dust off your feet.
That's
and
exactly
go on.
Right.
And there's something, and I just haven't put my finger on it all day today thinking about the feet, and there's something special about the feet and why Mary anointed his
feet. Let me throw out a couple things.
And when Jesus washed the disciples' feet.
Yes, he did.
At the Last Supper.
When Jesus washed the disciples' feet, that was a sign of servants, mm-hmm. being a servant. Mm-hmm. Mary was doing that very thing here, okay? Because, you know, your feet come in contact with dirt. Mm-hmm. They come in contact with the earth. They come in contact with the very essence of our carnality, you know? And for these, in this period of time when this happened, the roads were dusty. They were dirty, you know? They didn't have paved highways, and that's pretty good. It's good they didn't, because it would have burnt their feet, you know? But they had the dusty roads, and when they got to their destination, there was always somebody there ready to wash their feet and get mm-hmm. that grime off of their feet. And that their feet came in contact with the very humanity, the very carnality, you know, that part of us. The feet take us where we're going, okay, right? Mm-hmm. And they actually motivate us, take us to church, let's say, mm-hmm. or they take us to a time where we sit in our backyard and pray. We get up and we go. Our feet may take us in various places. They carry us. They're very important because they carry us where we're going. And there's a whole teaching. I won't get into this right now, Connie, but since you brought it up, the foot ministry in the Word of God is where we are absolutely soldiers fighting, mm-hmm. okay? On the battlefield.
Foot soldiers.
Foot soldiers, right? On the battlefield, people, especially back in World War II, mm-hmm. their feet, the soldiers' feet, carried them right up to the front lines. My dad was a runner in mm-hmm. World War II on the front lines, and he ran messages between generals and other people. That's what he did. And his feet carried him all that way. You know, it wasn't his hands. It was his feet. So his feet, the feet of Jesus were extremely important because the feet of Jesus had carried him all over this area of Israel for 3 years where he had been ministering. His feet had gotten him there. He didn't get on a bus. They didn't have a bus, you know? Mm-hmm. He walked it. He walked it. He lived it. And his feet actually carried him to the places that God sent him. And Jesus kept saying, I only do what God tells me to do. I only go where God tells me to go. You know, I am here to fulfill the desire of my Father. And that is true spirituality. Going where God tells us to go, being what God wants us to be, saying what God wants us to say. I'm so glad you brought that up because the feet are so important here. Mm-hmm. Because she didn't anoint his hands. Mm-hmm. She did not.
No, and it was, you know, if you think about it, it's his hands that are touching people, healing them.
Exactly. Hmm.
But don't mess with the anointing.
Don't mess with that anointing. Where God sends us, we have to go. Mm-hmm. We have to go. We have to believe God that he's sending us. And that is what Jesus did when he was here on this earth. He allowed the Father to send him where he needed to go. There were times that, like the blind man that we talked about last week, that had been blind all his life, had been sitting there, and then at that divine moment, exact time, when God, it was what we call in Greek, the Kairos time, mm-hmm. the time of great opportunity, when God absolutely decided, bam, right then, that's the time. Jesus had to be right there at the right time for that miracle to happen. His feet had to carry him there. I think some of you out there are saying, oh, wow, that's getting to me because I know God's been leading me to go here or do this or to go visit somebody. Your feet mm-hmm. need to carry you there. Mm-hmm. Also, in Ephesians chapter 6, it says that we should put on the sandals of peace. Okay? Now, peace was not related to any other of the garments in Ephesians chapter 6, which is the full armor of God. You've got the breastplate of righteousness. You've got the helmet of salvation that covers your thoughts. You gird your loins with truth. You have on that belt, all of that. But when it comes down to the feet, Paul writes that we should wear the sandals of peace. So where we go, oh, wow, this is spiritual. Some of you out there listening right now, this is the anointing of God that's leading our conversation in this direction. Thank you, Connie, for bringing that up. Because the sandals of peace are to carry us where God sends us, and where we should be going should bring peace to that individual.
As well as yourself.
As well as yourself. It's all about mm-hmm. peace, wearing those sandals of peace.
The peace that passes all understanding.
Do you think that when Mary anointed the feet of Jesus with that wonderful fragrant oil and then began to massage his feet that he felt peace? Mm-hmm. Yeah. A foot massage does that to you.
Definitely.
Yeah. I need to teach my little dogs how to massage my feet, you know?
I just can't imagine, you know, all the walking that they did and how hard their feet were.
Oh, wow.
You know, how sore they were and how tired they were.
Calloused.
And so that was... For her to do that, that was like an ultimate sacrifice.
It was an extreme sacrifice.
Extreme, yeah.
There had to be calluses. There had to be a lot of, you know, cuts and whatever on his feet. Mm-hmm. But it was preparing him actually for the next day, too. His mm-hmm. burial, but also that triumphal entry and bringing him peace through that time. Wow. We got a lot more to talk about here. This is really good stuff. You are my king. He is the king. Praise God. Jesus Christ is our king. Whatever is going on in your life, God wants you this day to concentrate on his real purpose for you and to allow yourself to look at what's going on in your heart. And where are your feet carrying you? Listen to this wonderful song, You Are My King. I love this, my new song.
I'm forgiven because you were forsaken. I'm accepted.
You are my king. You're listening to Living the Good Life, brought to you every Sunday at this time, live. We're in the studio here in Clearwater. This is Pastor Marcia McAllister from Beacon of Hope Ministries. John chapter 12, verse 12, if you're following along. After this anointing that happened by Mary and Judas getting so upset about that, the very next day, so that is 5 days before the crucifixion, and five always means God's grace. The very next day, the huge crowd that had arrived for the feast heard that Jesus was entering Jerusalem. I'm in John 12, 12. They broke off palm branches and went out to meet him, and they cheered. Now, this is so incredible because the crowd had heard all about him, and this is the guy we've been hearing about. He opens blind eyes. He feeds thousands of people with two little fish and, you know, some loaves of bread. This is incredible. He's here. Let's go see him. And they're going out. It's like a main attraction, you know, like when the president or somebody lands in St. Pete Airport for a couple minutes and people run out there and to see him, or when some world leader, whatever. And they broke off palm branches. They had to break off palm branches because palm trees are the symbol of victory. That's what they are. All through the Word of God, palm branches represent victory. They represent success. And we are privileged down here and blessed to live in this wonderful tropical land. Palm trees can't live in Indiana, where I'm from. They just don't do well up there in the soil. They need that sand, you know. They need that. And then they need those tropical rains that we have so much in Florida. Especially starting in May or June, where it rains every day at 4 o'clock for an hour, or pours like crazy, and then the sun comes right back out. That tropical weather, the palm trees flourish in that. Palm trees are symbols of victory and success. That's what they are. And they broke off palm trees. And they, branches, big branches, and they went out to, and they cheered Jesus, and they were singing Hosanna. Hosanna means, and we had a song earlier in the show about Hosanna. Hosanna, the word means, save us now, God, we beseech thee. Save us, God. They were, when they yelled Hosanna, which was a prophecy fulfilled from the Old Testament, it was fulfilled from the book of Psalms that said there would be coming a day where God would send his son, the Messiah, and people would shout Hosanna, which means save us, save us. These people were looking for an earthly king. They were not looking for the spiritual. They were not looking for the spiritual King of Kings. They didn't even realize what they were doing, but they were yelling, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in God's name, because he was doing all this in the name of God. All these miracles were being done in that, in the name of God. And it said, yes, the King of Israel. They were looking for him to be an earthly king. And so they were yelling, Hosanna. Jesus got on a young donkey and rode it. And this also fulfilled another scripture from the Old Testament. And this scripture said, do not fear, daughter Zion. See how your king comes riding a donkey's colt. Jesus had to ride into Jerusalem on a donkey. And I'm going to talk to Connie about this in a minute. But he had to. He had to fulfill scripture. And he also had to because of the symbolism of that donkey. Now, Jesus could not have ridden into Jerusalem on a chariot. He could not have ridden in there in some great big motorcade. Of course, they didn't have motors, but he could not have ridden on the back of something that would make him look like a king. He had to ride on a donkey because the donkey is symbolic of humility. It is symbolic of being totally and completely humble and a servant's attitude. That's what the donkey represents. In fact, in Matthew chapter 11, Jesus is saying, come to me, all you are who are heavy laden, who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will take your yoke on me. And he says, because I am humble and gentle in heart. And Jesus was revealing his character all through his earthly ministry time, those 3 years. And Jesus point blank, blatantly said, I'm humble. I'm your servant. I come not as a huge political figure, but I come as your servant. Back to Mary when she anointed the feet of Jesus, this was a symbol of the very servant nature of Jesus. That's what it was all about. Jesus allowed his feet to be anointed. Jesus allowed himself to get on a donkey and ride through the streets of Jerusalem. Now, this wasn't even his donkey. Jesus didn't even own a donkey. This was a borrowed donkey. You talk about being lowly and humble. This was a borrowed donkey, you know? And Jesus got on that donkey and he rode through the streets. Now, this was also a foreshadowing of what it's going to be like in eternity when we are praising Him, when we are saying Hosanna, when we are giving praise, and when we are giving glory to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Jesus was showing us what is going to happen here eventually as we worship and praise God for all eternity. And He did this by being a servant and getting on a lowly donkey. In verse 16 of John chapter 12, we read these words. The disciples didn't even notice the fulfillment of many scriptures at that time. They didn't even realize that by Jesus getting on a donkey, by the people cheering Him, by the people yelling Hosanna, by the people having palm branches, that this was fulfillment of scripture. And in Psalm 92, it's just coming to me right now, there is a scripture that says that we are going to flourish like the palm tree planted by the rivers of water. That's how we're going to grow. Now, interestingly enough, that's also symbolic. The palm trees all through the Old Testament were used to symbolize life. They were used to symbolize success. They were used to symbolize growth and getting stronger. And so Psalm 92 says, we're going to flourish in the house of the Lord like a palm tree planted by the water. Praise God. So here's what happened. The disciples didn't even know that this was a fulfillment of scripture. But after Jesus was glorified, they remembered that what was written about Him matched what He had done. Wow. And that's what happens. God comes back and He confirms what He has spoken. And that is what happened here. In John chapter 12, verse 17, the crowd that had been with Him when He called Lazarus from the tomb, raising him from the dead, they were there to give eyewitness accounts. Interestingly enough, it was because they had spread the word of this latest God sign that the crowd swelled to a welcoming parade. Let me tell you what was going on. People heard about Lazarus and they said, wait a minute, is this true that this man had been dead for 4 days? He was in the tomb and this man, Jesus, comes and calls him out of the tomb and this cadaver walks out. Somebody unties him, looses him from his grave clothes, and he is alive and well now. Is this true? People were going all through Jerusalem. The town was buzzing about this resurrection of Lazarus. And so because of that, because of this miracle that Jesus had done, people, they rushed into the streets. Some of them saw others with palm trees, and they began to climb a tree and get a palm branch. And they began to wave it. You know, like a lot of our sports events, people get... they get those great big number ones, or they get a handkerchief, or they get a towel, and they begin to wave it when their team is scoring a touchdown or whatever. It's the same concept. People were wanting to wave something in the air and be a part of the celebration. And they were doing that because they had heard about this latest miracle that Jesus performed where He raised Lazarus from the dead. And the Pharisees, the religious leaders, so we're back to that point, and we're going to come back and talk about that in a minute with Connie. The Pharisees took one look and threw up their hands, and they said, this thing is out of control. The world is in a stampede after Him. The world is going after Jesus. Did you know religious people do not want the world following Jesus? You say, Pastor, what are you talking about? Hang on. Don't go anywhere. I want to explain what I just said. Religious people don't want the world following after Jesus. Listen to Michelle, and we'll be right back.
Are you looking for a group of people who care enough about you to pray for you and welcome you with the love of God? Beacon of Hope Ministries is a place where all are welcome regardless of age, color, race, ethnic background, sexual orientation, marital status, struggles with addiction or mental or physical handicaps. All are welcome. All are loved and accepted. We encourage you to join us this Wednesday at 7 o'clock and Sunday at 11 o'clock to worship God and study His Word. You will feel God's presence and His love for you. We are located at 1812 Main Street, Dunedin. Please visit our website at www.beaconofhopeministries.com for directions and details concerning the ministry of Beacon of Hope.
Praise God. Thank you, Michelle. We are excited about what God is doing in the ministry. Please go to our website. It's a great idea. www.beaconofhopeministries. It's not just Beacon of Hope. You got to put the word ministries in there and you got to spell it right. T-R-I-E-S. beaconofhopeministries.com and you'll find out everything about the ministry. We're not just a place where we have a couple services a week. We have this global outreach with the radio every single Sunday at 4:30 on this radio station, and it's on the web, so it's around the world, and we're excited about that. We also have two new books that I wrote last year, Lessons from the Fiery Furnace and Living Large and Loving It. They're available on our website. And we are excited about all the different avenues of ministry. Our CD ministry, Connie, you've been doing that for years, mm-hmm. making CDs of our sermons. Actually, I think we started it in 2004. Mm-hmm. And we have sent worldwide. We have two big maps in our sanctuary where all the CDs, so over like 30,000 CDs have been sent free of charge around the globe to people. So you can get on our website, request CDs, different sermon series that I've done, and we want to send them to you. Free of charge. So do that. And that's cool. That's cool. Religious spirits here, Connie. There are a lot of them going on right then during this last week of Jesus' life on the earth, weren't there?
Yes.
And I said that we wanted to talk about the fact that religious people don't want people to go towards Jesus. Any thoughts on that?
The truth.
The truth. Jesus is the truth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They don't want them to know the truth.
And the truth. And Jesus' whole nature is not about condemnation. Mm-mm. It's not about judgment. It's not about rules. As we've been studying the book of John at Beacon of Hope in the last few weeks, Connie, what have you noticed about the miracles that Jesus did? One thing they have in common.
He did them on the Sabbath.
He always did them on the Sabbath. You don't see any of these stories where he was doing them on a Wednesday or he was doing them on a Tuesday. Jesus intentionally heals mm-hmm. these people on the Sabbath. Why? Why does he do that?
He does it because he doesn't believe in the rules.
That's right.
Necessarily. And you know, people need help all the time. They don't just need it on certain days of the week.
That's a great point. And religion tries to, you know,
box it in.
Mm-hmm. The only time you can get your prayer is if you walk into a confessional and you meet these certain requirements. Or the only time you can get prayer is at the end of the service when the pastor calls up people to be prayed for.
With the benediction, yeah.
Yeah, and this is the only time. And it's not like that at all. Mm-hmm. Jesus came to give us true spirituality.
People would have a hard time if they came to one of our services because we just go with the flow.
We just go with the flow.
Flow of the Spirit and Holy Spirit. And, you know, if he tells us not to do the sermon that day, we don't.
Right.
And there have been quite a few times. Yeah.
And if he says, let's start out with praying for people, we mm-hmm. start out with praying for mm-hmm. people. Or sometimes we, you know, it's just different because we really try to follow the leading of mm-hmm. the Holy Spirit. And that's what Jesus was all about.
Well, and that's what it's about. It's not about what we think it should be.
Yes.
And how we think it should be.
Absolutely. It's following God's leading in your life. The difference between being religious and being spiritual is one, and if you have something to write with, write this down. It's about your relationship with Jesus. Mm-hmm. That's the difference. I mean, religion has all of the scripture and verse and do this, number one, number two, number three, number four, and then everything will be fine. You'll get to heaven. Spirituality in our lives has everything to do with the relationship that we have with Jesus.
Like you just said, that the religious think that everything has to be check one, check two. And that's okay because they're probably going to be in heaven mm-hmm. as long as they accepted Jesus as their Savior. But they're miserable here.
Right.
And they make other people miserable and they hurt people here.
Yes.
They say things that are inappropriate. They say things in the name of religion.
Right.
And and they stand on it to judge.
Right.
And they're just hurt people that hurt other people really bad.
Hurt people, hurt people.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. You know, all through this book of John, we are seeing these I am statements. Mm-hmm. Jesus says, I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. And when it comes to being religious versus being spiritual, it has everything to do with light. Mm-hmm. Okay? Because God wants to, through Jesus, shine light on the dark places in your life and allow God to minister to you where you're really hurting. Because there's some people out there today listening to us, Connie, that are really hurting. They got all kinds of stuff going on and they need answers. Mm-hmm. And maybe they don't have anybody around them that they can really, really talk to. What do they do? It's not about those, that religious set of rules. It's about the relationship with Jesus and getting our priorities right. You know, it's about talking to him every day.
Mm-hmm.
It's about walking with him every day. It's about tapping into the light of the world.
And sharing it. It's all about sharing it.
Why is it all about sharing?
It's all about saving souls.
It's all about saving souls. It really is. It's all about the light of God through Jesus shining through us to people that are hurting, people that are in distress. Those of you right now listening to this broadcast,